This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Charlotte Flows. Hi, and welcome to Charlotte Flows. Here we are in another opportunity to step out of the doing of life and into the being of life. This 30-minute pocket of time is where I share my musings, my learnings and my discoveries, all aiming to find out how I can live my life by my design. The intention for you listening is that you might hear something inspirational that makes you pause, stop and ask that same question. Am I living my life by my design? Enjoy the show. Hello, hello. Today I am going to reflect on a fabulous weekend I had a couple of weeks ago that it wasn't until it all came to be that I realised it was all themed around a feminine activism vibe, which made me smile. I'm not sure I call myself either of those words, but then sometimes I think maybe I am. Maybe we all are in our own ways, and it's all about language, interpretation, etc., etc. The things we talk about all the time. But let's dive deep into these two things that happened to me, because I just wanted to share them because I just felt it was worth sharing. So I'm going to split it into two halves of the show, but the first one is about I went to the theatre, Harlequin Theatre in Masterton, headed there with a group of girlfriends. All started because a lovely neighbour of mine is in the theatre company, and we'll often share the different productions that are on, but was shared what she was in, her and her husband were in this rock musical. And so I thought, yeah, let's go. Let's gather a gaggle of girls, as I said to her, which I did. And we headed off for a lovely Saturday night to see That Bloody Woman, which was a rock musical about Kate Sheppard. Now, this gave me an opportunity to have a history lesson because my knowledge was limited. Knew she was on a $10 note, knew she was part of the suffrage movement, I wasn't really sure if I'd really gained the gem of the vote piece of information, or knowing a bit but not the full story. But wow, what an awesome evening I had. Going out, having a drink, meeting the girls, and then ask the girls before we headed off, what's your awareness of Kate Sheppard? And everybody pretty much, for me and my sister, we were both going, so this was a new history lesson for us pretty much. And then for the girls, there was awareness, things learnt at school. But this was going to be a refresher, a fun refresher. And that it was. So we headed to the theatre and witness this amazing production by such talented locals in the Masterton Theatre Company, with this fabulously fun musical. There was a three-piece band on stage. They were awesome. Lots of singing. And it took us on a journey. So basically, big revelation to me, Kate Sheppard was born in Liverpool in England and travelled here as a colonial passenger. So that was like, oh, okay, didn't even realise. I thought she was a Kiwi. So it brought that into play. It brought into play the sort of contract of how people came across and what their responsibilities were for men to go out and get a job and sort of provide income and, you know, support the economic development kind of thing. Women to have children, get married, have children. So that was a bit of a like, wow, how times have changed. Thank goodness. But a real insight into that, you know, why people were coming over. And so it, the very early stages of the musical was about her having to find a husband, then having children. This was a very amusing part of the setup of the us finding all our characters, who they were, what sort of what they were like, and sort of touching on that sort of that what that is what it was like. But of course, you know, we're talking about a different time, and that is what women were meant to do: keep the house, breed offspring, and they had each other, but they didn't have much else. And it was Kate and her friends that sort of the story of them coming together and wanting more, and I guess questioning things. She was obviously somebody that wanted to question how things were done, and that just because it is done like that, it shouldn't always be done like that. And so this beautiful story took us on a journey of the women's temperance movement, the changes that had to be made for her to, she decided to gather signatures on a petition, which started off about needing control around drinking. But then that sort of led to the bigger picture of the vote and having a voice. And that came, it looked like, from sort of understanding that they did the petition and it kept going to Parliament, but it was going nowhere. And so questioning why, and then it was not having a voice, and then what they had to do to get that voice. And so it touched on all of these different elements. She gathered nearly 32,000 signatures in all over these three historic petitions over time. It measured an incredible length when they were all rolled up and presented. It was historic. It was, I mean, and here's some, we'll stop, pause and have some quick fun facts. Because I thought, I can tell you about this, but if we're going to get some worth out of it, instead of me just rambling on and maybe not gaining and garnering all the facts, here are some key facts about Kate Sheppard. So there was the historic petition, 32,000 signatures on a massive 270-metre long paper roll that was dramatically rolled across the floor of Parliament. She fought for global change. Her successes in New Zealand inspired and aided women's rights and suffrage campaigns in other countries. Because she was and fought and got the first women's vote in the world. I don't think I realised that New Zealand, unless I had it, but I just hadn't really gained, it hadn't locked in and I hadn't really appreciated what that meant. So the first place in the world to get the woman's vote. She pioneered women's media. She served as the editor of The White Ribbon, which was New Zealand's first newspaper owned, managed and published solely by women. Amazing. She challenged social norms. She was an early cyclist and a founding member of the Atalanta Ladies Cycling Cup, which faced public controversy. And this came into the play. There was a scene in the play where bikes came on and the need to go to more of a culotte style clothing to be able to cycle, because she cycled around to get the signatures, and obviously what that would have been like at the time, that would have been a revelation. And she features on the currency. Her portrait is on the front of the $10 note. So many things, but those were the top five. I just thought I'd pop in a top five on each of these segments about these amazing events I went to. So yes, we went on a journey of all of this. She only had one child, which was like she talked about being her friends and community were 4, 5, 6 children, because that's what they were there to do. But she only had one son who did end up going back to the UK with her husband when their marriage ended, and died at a very young age. So there was a part in the play that reflected on that and the sadness that that brought to her. And of course, we were in a different time, weren't we? The distance was felt so much greater. It touched on in the play, like I say, the cycling. It touched on her her being truly in love with another man who ironically ended up marrying one of her best friends. So it touched on that, and there was a sense of that talked about relationship that couldn't be. So there was a whole song and piece in the production about that. It touched on the husband, her husband. Her son wasn't part of that, but it touched on the drinking culture. It touched on the politics of the time, a key person in parliament, and the sort of the mentality of politics at that time, how women weren't seen to be able to handle it. Their poor wee brains would not be able to handle the complexities of politics because they were purely to be managing the home and not really worrying themselves with anything else. So, yeah, sort of when you just think of that change in that period of time. Because, in essence, it's not that long in time. The right to vote in elections was received on September 19th, 1893. So it's not really that long ago, is it, in the scheme of things? But what else did we... I mean, it was just fabulous. It was an eye-opening and a fun way to have a history lesson. I sort of thought, what a neat way to learn about things. And I definitely came away thinking, what an incredible woman. Thank goodness we have women like that in our past, and aware that we have them in our present. And no doubt we will have more in our future as things do continue to change. But I was just really thrilled to have made the call to go, appreciated the call out. And we also talked about how cool theatre is as an avenue for delivering something like that. And funnily enough, that week prior, I'd been listening to an interview. There was a play held at the Wairarapa Event Centre, and that was, I guess, a politically themed play. It was about Tamariki understanding politics, and I listened to somebody that was in it, and I believe part of the production writing, and it was really fascinating. And that conversation about how theatre can be a really great portal, it makes it very personal. You sort of watch and you seem more immersive. It's so different to like watching a movie. You don't get that same invested element as you do in theatre. And I totally got that watching That Bloody Woman. So hats off to all of the theatre company that made that happen. It was a tribute. And I hope there's more things like that that come up in the future, because... Gosh, I think it was a sellout crowd the night I went. We all absolutely loved it. And I know all, having experienced it, we'll all be looking out for more in the future. But that was my That Bloody Woman moment. So let's take a break and then hear where my next feminine activism inspiration led to. Enjoy.
I wanna leave my footprints on the sands of time. No, there was something that meant something that I left behind. When I leave this world, I'll leave no regrets. Leave something to remember so they won't forget I was here. I
Shepherd part one, part two. So that was the Saturday, and on the Sunday I attended a talk by Dame Marilyn Waring. So this was an event in the Wairarapa that was hosted by the Two Huaranga Trust, I think that's right. I'd been invited to help promote this, and in that invitation I was made aware of the why by being sent a TED talk that Dame Marilyn Waring did. And so on watching this a couple of months ago, was like, wow. So she is an economist and a former MP. And I would sort of think, oh, I'm not sure this is my thing. But that's where we get it so wrong. And, you know, when you think back to what I was saying before about the Kate Shepherd thing, about the mentality being that that was too much for the woman's brain and stuff. And I think that is such an indoctrinated story that when I have those moments now, I think, I hope I catch myself that I think, oh, that's not me. You know, I'm not intellectual enough for that. Blow that. We are. I mean, most women, for the most part, and definitely, you know, the circle I'm in, we are all managing economics because we do our home economics. We're managing the budget. We're trying to make things stretch. The weight of the cost of living and all of the things that brings, you know, we're very much in the economy side. Now, it might be in our own personal bubble, not on a bigger national scale, but we all are part of a cog in the economy. So I watched this TED talk, and I will make sure that the link to that is in the notes for the show, and was aghast. It was a real, like, eye-opening, emotive-inducing experience. And the bit that really got me was... And I think when I said this when I was helping share in the different places that I shared about this event, I wrote a post saying, I don't think I really, truly would say I understood what GDP was until I watched this TED talk and then really got an insight into how I feature in that. Because there was this example of how women aren't seen, or women at home with families aren't contributing, even though we're running our home economics and we're doing all of the things that we're doing. And many of us are working, juggling all of the things. But that is not seen to contribute. Yet a car crash, primo for the GDP. Great incentive having a car crash, you know. And wow, highlight, if you get injured, kind of almost better, because then we're going to the doctors, we're heading into a system, we're repairing cars, we might be replacing cars. If you buy a new car, bing, bing, huge plus for the GDP. I was shocked, stunned, and slightly mortified. And so having watched that, I responded saying, heck yeah, bring this, have this lady in the region spread the awareness, like me, of not really feeling this was my thing, but actually, wow, this is, you know, it is something to be aware of. Because Dame Marilyn Waring, and I'm just going to read this off, you know, looking up again with those facts, is a trailblazing New Zealand politician, feminist and economist. And her work in recent years has been around feminist economy and if women counted, and she challenges how the GDP, the gross domestic product, is set, laid out, especially in the case of people, generally women, in roles where they serve but do not get any benefit from it, as a mother, as a carer for families, but so many things. So this TED Talk had been a bit of an eye-opener. I then helped share it, and then on this particular Sunday afternoon, I attended the talk. The talk, wow, I mean, yes, it was, there were bits of it that sort of I could keep up with, there were bits that, of it that I couldn't, but essentially I, again, watched this time a woman that is still alive and with us, and an absolute trailblazer, another trailblazer in the history of New Zealand, watched her speak and was totally captivated. She's an incredibly captivating lady. She's got the most amazing smile. And here are top five fun facts about Dame Marilyn Waring. So she was the youngest MP. She entered Parliament at the age of 23, which at the time, I think I read was, you know, the youngest parliamentarian in history. She triggered a snap election. Her threat to cross the floor on nuclear-free legislation in 1984 led Prime Minister Robert Muldoon to call a surprise election, ending his government's tenure. So I didn't realise what, you know, crossing the floor meant, but had a bit of a deep dive by a friend on Sunday, and so that was like, whoa, how cool. Founder of Feminist Economics, she wrote the influential 1988 book If Women Counted, which challenged traditional economic metrics and changed how the United Nations views unpaid work and gross domestic product. I mean, how awesome is this human? Political maverick. During her 9 years in office, she frequently stood up against her own party's leadership on issues like nuclear disarmament, environmental protection and human rights. She was made a Dame in 2019 in the New Year's Honours. She was appointed a Dame Companion of the New Zealand Order of Merit for her profound services to women and economics. Absolutely incredible, trailblazing woman. I said at one stage after the event, to somebody I was chatting to about, wow, wasn't that amazing? It made me smile and think, given the night before I'd gone to that bloody woman of Kate Sheppard, I thought, I wonder if in a few years' time there'll be a that bloody woman about Marilyn Waring, and there'll be a reformatted rock musical in honour of her. But what I got from this weekend of inspiration, and why I wanted to share it here, is thank goodness that our women that dedicate their life and their careers to this effort. Thank goodness that the Kate Sheppard, no doubt, sort of inspired, you know, a Marilyn Waring in whatever unseen, unheard way maybe that happened. But these are women that I'm so grateful to have had a weekend sort of being made aware of them, of what they did. It makes you proud to be a woman. It makes you ask yourself, what can I do to keep up the work? You know, you think about why it's important to vote, because of the work that went in to enable it to be so. Why it's important to, when things are talking about in the economy, why it might be worth listening to see how it affects us. I'm not going to become somebody that starts reading oodles of paper, watching the news, because that's a not even the stuff that is going to make any bearing. But it's finding these people, these women to listen to in the places that you know where you'll get the real stuff. And maybe, what does that mean? There'll be local people around us that can help navigate that. I mean, you think of inspiring people, you know, like Lucy Cooper, who was alongside, she was there for the Times Age reporting. She'd done a couple of pieces on this, and I spoke to her after the event. And she is, you know, such an amazing woman. We all have people we look up to in our own communities. And I think even if it's finding the people that you find inspiring, follow them, question things, question how you operate, and if you're getting sucked into just the groundhog life, or whether you're standing up for your values and the things that you believe are true. Living your authentic life, living your life by your design. I guess when I think about it, and as I ponder here now, talking to you, as I often do, it's a place where all my learnings come into flow as I'm talking out there to you. I really realise that, yeah, this is it, isn't it? It's sort of just the learning, it's the listening, it's the taking from it and thinking, how can I make this work in my life? What did it, or do I want to make this work in my life? How is this going to change how I take action in the future? And of course, it's an election year, so let's use that vote for what we believe in. Not what anybody else believes in, what you believe in as a human. What speaks to you? We have to be brave, and we have to make change. Listening to Dame Marilyn Waring, I walked out and having this conversation with somebody after about what can I do now? And pairing back to how I can affect in my world, that meant me questioning a few things about my work, my concept of worth in my working environment, about awareness of other people, which I think I have to a degree, but sort of just, you know, really appreciating it. I mean, it's, yeah, when you're, we all know how tough it is at the moment, and for some it's tougher than others. So making that vote count to support not just us, but everybody around us. And yeah, just finding the things that make you question how things are being done, and question your part in it. I think that's what I took from it, and what I hope I will take moving forward. So there we go. My feminine activist weekend inspiration and learning, and wanting to share with you. Hope you've enjoyed. Thanks as always to Arrow FM for hosting the show, and who knows where we'll go next week, but hopefully to a place where we're hoping to lead life by our design. Thanks everybody, take care.